It's a good day, and I just want to kind of give you something to think about through worship. Last week, we talked about God being the giver of great gifts and how he will give you the desires of your heart. And this week, we're going to be talking about how we should be giving God great gifts. And what I want you to think about, you know, through this worship set is, you know, what it really means. How much is it worth to have Christ as the Savior of your life? And you know, part of worship, what the word means is worth. And it means to express worth or appreciation too. And so through worship, you know, I trying to remind you week to week, this is not just a set of music that we want to do. It's a time we want to express worth to Jesus Christ. And so really contemplate, you know, one of the songs talks about you and I are never going to know what it meant to go on a cross, what it cost for us, you know. Someone paid that. And so, you know, I don't know where you're at in life, don't know what your journey looks like with Christ, but at least make sure before you sit down, you've really given him sincere gratitude. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us be here. This season, God, heightens our awareness of you, the awareness of your Son in our lives, what it means to be saved, what it means to have a relationship with the God of all creation. And so I pray that no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter how fast or how slow our lives are going right now, that we would take our time in this auditorium, this sanctuary, to be just something that's between us and you, God, that we would make this of eternal value, God, that our lives would be better for having taken time out to come here today, and that you would know how much you mean to us today. We thank you for letting us be here in Christ's name, and amen. When the wise men came to see Jesus, he was in a house. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. And Jesus, our image of that moment is Mary holding him just like she probably was in the manger. And so we have this image that was very serene, very holy night type thing. And so just to help you recalibrate maybe what it looked like, I went on YouTube and looked up two-year-old birthday parties. And I don't know who Ryan was. It was just a cool little party that I thought maybe would help you rethink what it looked like when the wise men got to Jesus, because Jesus was roughly 2 years old. I know at home, you know, the manger scene, I pick on it a lot because our wise men are at the manger. It didn't happen like that. The wise men showed up sometime later, and that's why when Herod found out that they kind of went back a different way, he put out a death decree for all the kids 2 years old and younger, because that's approximately what Jesus was. So I just wanted to kind of show you what it may have looked like, because I think our perspective, you know, Mary sitting there holding Jesus, and how many of you have forgotten what it was like to have a two-year-old? Two-year-olds don't sit there in your arms and get all holy and stuff. They run around with their drumsticks and beat on the flat screen TV and do stuff like that. So I at least wanted to challenge the way you see it, because we go buy the stuff at the department stores. We put it in our room, and it's a manger. It's Joseph and Mary. It's the wise men, and it's just this, you know, angel floating over top and all this, and it's just so holy, is it not? And yet, that's probably not quite exactly what it looked like. I'm not saying Jesus was running around like your kid used to run around, but he at least was probably not sitting in Mary's lap being all quaint. They probably met the wise men at the door, and I'll tell you how many there probably were. You've heard me teach on this maybe before, but I want to read some scripture to you. We're in Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to skip around a little bit just so you catch the gist of the story, beginning with verse 1. It says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled as well." Go down to verse 7. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, not the baby, the child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Now, again, recalibrate a little bit. This is a 2-year-old boy, roughly, in a house with his mother. These wise men, these magi, have been somehow supernaturally led to a house. And, I mean, we don't know if they knock on the door. We don't know how that really happens. We don't know if a servant opened it or what. But it says when they come in the house, they come to the feet of Jesus and they bow down and begin to worship him. And just, again, rethink the scene a little bit. You've got a young boy that's probably standing there watching all these very affluent, very wealthy people come in bearing gifts, and they begin to bow down before him and worship him. And it says, and they opened their treasures, and they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then the wise men, after this moment, it says they were divinely warned not to return to Herod, and so they went a different way. And then that's when Herod found out he had been duped and puts out a death decree on the land. But last week I talked to you about the way God the Father gives us gifts and the desires of our heart. And today I want to talk to you about the gifts you give God the Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us be here again. You know every one of our stories right now, God. You know who have come in and we're celebrating. You know others who have come in and we're struggling to get by. And yet you've invited us to be together in this room, and you've made this, God, a safe place, a sanctuary today. And so I pray that you would help us open our minds, our hearts, God, to you, and that every one of us would receive something of eternal value from you, and as well would be determined to give something of eternal value back to you, God. We thank you for it in Christ's name, and each of us would say, amen. I Googled, you know, I love Google. I Googled just to see what the top gifts for a 2-year-old boy are right now. And you may be shocked, but gold, frankincense, and myrrh didn't make the list. But here's what's on the list. Foam blocks, activity zebra, Slinky Dog. Remember Slinky Dog? I had to emphasize big, soft Legos, because when I said Legos, my wife's like, not Legos. So it's the big, soft Legos. Finger puppet book, Chugga Chugga, come on, Choo Choo, Learn to Dress Monkey, that's big on the list this year, Go-Go Police Car, and actually hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, but none of them listed gold, frankincense, or myrrh being a top gift for a 2-year-old. And so I want you to imagine the scene for a moment. You have 2-year-old Jesus, a knock on the door, and next, in our mind right now, 3 wise men show up at the door. And I was studying yesterday and I read, actually there was 4, but the 4th one had fruitcake and they didn't let him in. But actually, to get the scene right, it's probably not 3. And it's probably not 4, it's probably hundreds. Because they traveled in bands, and the gifts are probably not as we have it, 1 gift, you know, of each laid before him. It says they opened up their treasures. Did you see that? That word means like a treasure chest, a coffer, a storage. That they came in not with some cute little box. They came in with treasure chest. And probably hundreds of them begin to open, you know, whether they lined up to come in. We don't know how it happened, but at least get the scene right in your mind. This is an incredible moment that happened with a 2-year-old child and his mother. And, you know, our challenge is to not let it become something we put under a Christmas tree or put somewhere in our hallway and let that be the story, or just something we read through the scripture. Our story is to figure out what it means in 2010. Why is that in the Bible? Why is it at Christmas time we're going to go read about these wise men? I mean, what are we supposed to pull off the pages and figure out how to apply to our life? Because whether there's a crazy moment or not, this is a ridiculous story in the Bible, is it not? I mean, could you imagine if you were holding your two-year-old birthday party and you got a knock at the door? And you looked out and the front yard was full of wealthy people? And I'm open for that, aren't you? But I mean, imagine the scene, at least get it right. The front yard, the street, somewhere, there's potentially hundreds of wealthy people there that have followed a star that God made sure somehow they knew how to follow. And they end up at a particular house. And as they walk in, they begin to bow down and worship at the feet of two-year-old Jesus. And begin to open these treasure chests and just dump them out at his feet. Quite a moment, is it not? And you see, the challenge with us is always to figure out the application, the so what, you know, to read through the Bible and at least pull it off the page to where, again, it's not ceramic figurines or something in the house, but especially at Christmas time, when we too are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, we need to figure out what that's supposed to mean to us. Amen? Say amen. And so we're going to kind of look at some themes that I think run through the story. And the first one is, no matter what, when people run into Jesus, he's not going to be a neutral figure in their life. The Magi, the wise men, when they get to Jesus, there's extravagant worship from their life. How many of you can reflect back when you met Jesus and remember what it was like? I mean, the moment when Jesus came into your life. How many really have that? I mean, do you remember what it felt like the moment you met Christ and you felt like he forgave you of your sins? I mean, can you remember back what it felt like to feel like you couldn't be forgiven and just hoped that something would happen? And then when you go up and pray a prayer or however it went down in your life, can you remember what it felt like to meet Jesus as your Savior? Wasn't that an incredible moment? I mean, no one had to tell me I was saved. I didn't have to go sit in a class and they tell me the three steps. And I mean, I knew in my knower when I prayed that something supernatural had happened in my life and the weight of my sins was gone. It's an incredible moment, is it not? And some of us, self-included, if we're not careful, we'll lose the awe of that moment. We'll get to where we're a Christ follower and we're just saved. And you forget what it was like the day he rolled up his sleeve and pulled you out of a pit. And then Herod was threatened by it. I don't know if it was his power, his position, his prestige, because he heard another king was around. And think about him. I mean, this guy ended up killing his wife's brother, his son. I mean, this guy was a nut anyway. But he was threatened by a kid. All I'm trying to say is, no matter what, when you truly have an encounter with Christ, no matter what, he's going to affect your life. Amen? I mean, I don't know if it'll make you better or bitter, but somehow you're going to know when you have an encounter with something called the Christ child. No one will have to tell you. It won't be emotionalism. It won't be higher thinking. It'll be, you know what? I don't even know what to do with that, but there was something to what happened in my life yesterday. Come on, let's give him another hand clap of praise. He's incredible. Incredible. And you know, if nothing else, we could stop right here today and say, you know what? If nothing else, let's get back to the amazement of the moment we got saved. Let's just get back to where we're excited that our sins are forgiven again. That would be a gift in and of itself, would it not? To be able to get up and have that worship in our lives again, to say, it's incredible with what you've done in my life. So there's themes that run through this. What about the Magi? We don't know where they came from. It just simply says the East, and the song says the Orient. We don't know. We don't know if they traveled 100 miles. Theory has it about 1,000 miles they traveled for the Christ child. Just kind of guessing where they may have came from. They started out, I mean, they didn't have GPS, they don't have an address, they don't have anyone to contact, no cell phone, no numbers. They're simply believing that they're being led supernaturally to something that crazy has happened on this earth. From time to time, you and I are going to have a journey of faith in our life. God's not always going to spell it out for us. If you go here, Bob, it's going to work out like this, and then you do this. Sometimes it's going to be, hey, Bob, you need to move forward now. What's it going to be? I'm not telling you all that. It's called faith. And there's going to be times, I mean, just reflect again. When's the last time you truly took a step of faith in your life? When's the last time God was able to say, hey, I need you to turn right and go over here? And you be willing to just simply take the journey. You think they were uncomfortable at times in this journey? You think that there were times people would say, where are you going? I don't know. What are you looking for? I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, if we were walking like that in 2010, people would call us stupid. And yet there should be times we're walking like that. What are you going to do? I'm not really sure, but I know God's leading me to something. And I'm just trying to be obedient. Amen? And then their journey cost them greatly. There's going to be times, my friend, that it's going to cost you to be a Christ follower. There's going to be times that there's going to be value associated to you saying yes or no to something else. You're going to know that from time. It may cost you a friend. It may cost you other things in life. But there's going to be times for you to seriously follow Him. It's going to cost you something. Amen? And so, you know, we go through this and we try to figure out why is the story in here. You know, ultimately, our journeys should lead to these moments that are big aha moments with Christ. You know, it was incredible when I was saved in March of 85. But if I'm sitting here in 2010 and I don't have any more incredible moments, something's wrong with my journey. Hello? I mean, there should be moments since then where God has just said, hey, Bob, just be obedient right now. And I should find out something else about Him as I walk. And then as I walk a little further, I should know more about Christ today than I knew about Him then. There should be moments along the journey that I've learned things, discoveries about Him. You see, that's what journeys of faith are about. Do you agree? That there's going to be moments, you know, that you're just walking by faith and you've accepted the cost and the discomfort or whatever. And from time to time, you're just going to find out something that you couldn't have found without walking on the journey. Discoveries of Jesus Christ. So there's themes kind of run through the scripture, but I think there's a little more to it than these big themes about the star and stuff. I mean, I think there's a deeper thing to that. You know, in bringing gifts to Christ, have you ever had somebody you didn't know what to buy them? Yeah. I mean, you know, we have someone now, you know, we're like, I don't know what to get them, you know? And if they don't give you direction, you know, you don't have a clue sometimes. And, I mean, what would you give? Think about it. These guys are coming to the Christ child. And they're bringing these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They have, I mean, why wasn't it, you know, chugga-chugga-choo-choo and slinky dog? I mean, why was it these gifts? Why? I mean, why do we need to know this anyway? You know what I'm saying? Because everything in the Bible is for us for a reason. And so why do we need to know of what they brought Him and all? Here's what David, King David, said in the Old Testament. He said, I'm not going to offer to God anything that costs me nothing. Think about that. David said, I'm not going to offer to God anything that costs me nothing. In other words, I want it to be an expression of worth when I give it to Him. You know, if someone else gave you $5 for you to give, then it cost you nothing. And so if you don't tap down and find your own faith, you can't live on mama's faith. You can't live on mama's worship and their stories. I mean, somewhere this has to be something you truly own. And so when they started giving him these gifts, see, this is what I think this story is all about. It's a huge prophetic moment because the gifts, I mean, for a two-year-old, what's he going to do with a big pile of gold? I mean, you know, it's like I said last week, you give them the gift, they play in the box. I mean, he has no value appreciation for that. What's he going to do with a big pile of frankincense, incense? I mean, what's he going to do? It means nothing to him at that moment. What's he going to do with a big vat of myrrh? Right there, at 2 years old, it means nothing to him. Do you understand? You see, this is prophetic because it's not about who he is in that moment. It's about who he's going to be and why he came to this earth. And that should mean something to us. There should be these demarcations. There should be a moment where we give God greater gifts, greater capacity of our life, just like these gifts were given to Christ. You remember, maybe you remember the song, We Three Kings? The three kings, those songs, that song tells you what the gifts are all about. Remember it says, oh, star of wonder, star of night, and all that stuff. It says, the first king, born, the first king gives him, and he says this, born a king on Bethlehem plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. You see, the gift of gold is a gift given to royalty. And that's what it symbolizes, that they, bowing at the feet of a child, were acknowledging that he was not just a child, that he was the king. And you know what Revelation calls him? Revelation has not even happened yet for us, right? He's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet he's not taken that authority yet. So it's still prophetic for us to declare that one day he's going to be king of all creation. Do you understand? But as far as Christ followers, it's one thing in March of 85 to make him Savior. It's another thing somewhere along the line to make him Lord and King. A lot of people want a Savior. Not a lot of people want a Lord and King. You see, somewhere along the line, when you make him Lord or King of your life, that means you start giving up some authority over your life. That means you start bowing and surrendering to what he wants in your life. And I mean, for some of us, that's foreign language, you know. It's like, are you telling me that he gets to start directing me a little bit? Exactly. How does he do that? With nudges and with the word and with a voice that won't go away, sometimes just resonating in your heart, telling you how to handle something and all? Absolutely, because if you're truly going to follow him, he wants to be more than just your Savior. Amen? And so if you were sitting here today and you're saying, you know what, Bob? I've never considered letting him have complete control of my life. Well, that's the gift of gold. That would be, well, you need to give him the gift of gold then. You need to acknowledge and begin to let him have control of your life some. And I don't mean just now through Christmas season, because I watch people, you know, it's like you'll see them step up for a week, 2 weeks, for a period, a season of time, and whatever the pressure is that made them do that, when the pressure is gone, the gold comes back. And it's like somewhere you have to settle the issue. Who's going to truly direct your life? One day we'll all figure it out. When we're in control, we're out of control. Say amen. And so the gift of gold is to make him king, Lord of our life. And then the second king in the song, it says, "Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God most high." You see, the gift of incense was how prayers were offered to God. They were meant to be uplifted into incense to God. And so when they gave him the gift of frankincense, you know what they're saying? This is no ordinary child that you're looking at. This is not just Mary's son. This actually is the Son of God. He's deity. And my thought when I was working through that is, somewhere in our life, we can't just live with eternal insurance. Fire insurance, you know? It's kind of like, well, I want to be in just in case. I mean, somewhere we have to start living like we honestly believe we're going to see him one day. Every day we have to live like that. When you get up, you have to acknowledge, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. When you go to bed, you have to say, hey God, thank you for being a part of my life. And when you get up again, you have to start living it again every day. I remember, you know, sometime back I was talking to someone, you know, at the gym one day, and the person just said to me, I believe in God, but I'm choosing to live like an atheist right now. It's like, what? I mean, why would you do that, you know? And yet, if we're not careful, we'll believe in God, but we'll live in capacities that really don't reflect that from time to time. And we all have to evaluate that. Am I truly living like I believe what I'm talking about? Hello? The gift of frankincense. Just settle the issue. Do you believe this is real? Yeah? Well, don't live a day like you don't. And then myrrh, the gift of myrrh. The third king says, myrrh is mine. It's bitter perfume. Breaths of life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying. Sealed in that stone, cold tomb. The gift of myrrh says, no, he's not the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God that came to die for my sins. He is the Son of Man that's going to die. The gift of myrrh being laid at the feet of a 2-year-old child was simply saying, you have been born to die. There's only 2 times myrrh is mentioned with Jesus Christ. It's this time, and then it's when he's in the tomb, and they're coming to embalm his body. Because myrrh was used as an embalming process. And so that prophetically was saying, you may be a king, and you may be the child of God, but you actually are also the Savior of the world. Incredible. Do you ever struggle with getting over the fact that God loves you? I mean, look at the person beside you. Are you amazed that God loves them? I mean, seriously, do you ever struggle with that? Just accepting anybody? I mean, I have. I wrestled through that before. Like, you mean God loves me still? You mean there's nothing I can do? I mean, I don't have to do, you know, 12 of these and 9 of these. He loves me the same today as he did yesterday, as he did the day before. He loves me. And you see, the gift to me of myrrh is where you settle the issue. There's nothing you can do to increase the love of God for you. And then there's nothing you can do to decrease the love of God for you. I was talking to someone we had over this week, and here's what the Bible says, and I'm so glad it says this, that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You see, if you don't settle this issue, why it's so important is you'll never feel like you're accepted by God. You'll look around in a church service and you'll see people that, you know, they're accepted, but it's hard to believe God forgives me of what I've done. And you see, that's what that gift is to me, is where you just declare, I mean, from the bottom of your heart, He is the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of my life. And He has forgiven me, forgiven you. So quit trying to earn credit with Him. Quit trying to be the perfect whatever. Quit thinking when you get this right, He'll like you more. Just quit. And just live in the love of Jesus Christ. Let's give Him a hand, I mean a real hand clap of praise today. Would you just tell the person beside you that Jesus loves you? Now look back and say, no, really, I'm serious. He loves you. And man, you know, I mean, I deal with that so often. People like, wait, Bob, you don't know. Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, it's an incredible moment where you just... I'm forgiven. Yeah, God loves you. Wow. And so I want to close, and I just want to kind of reflect on what I've said to you today. See, Christ don't want slinky dogs. And He don't want chugga-chugga. Choo-choos. It's a godly place, isn't it, I tell you. See, these gifts mean something. They truly do. It's not just a story and a manger scene. It's not. It does mean that you and I should see that it's worth searching for Him. And if you haven't found Him like you want to yet, don't give up. He wants to be found. Amen? But I'm telling you, when you find Him, it's an incredible moment. I remember March of 85, and I remember other moments where it's like, wow, feeling the weight of sin just dump off your shoulders. It's worth it. There's going to be moments, friends, where you're just going to have to take a step of faith. I mean, if you're like me, I like it all filled out. I got that. But I mean, I think I'm on a journey of faith right now. I don't know what everything looks like, and yet I'm walking. And I want you to truly just, not between you and anybody else, but for a moment, consider the gifts you're giving Him. See, He doesn't want the stuff, man. What do you give Him, truly? There's nothing you could give Him He doesn't have other than one thing. And that's you. It's the one thing He'll never take from you is you. And yet it's the one thing He wants most. He wants you to make Him more than Savior. He wants to be included on your weekdays. W-E-A-K days. He wants to be a part of when you're struggling. He wants to be a friend. And maybe you haven't settled the issue. You know, it's like, well, I go to church, but I have more questions than I have answers. Hey, I got that. But you still have to somehow say, but I'm going to live like I believe this is real. Well, what about this? I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But I choose to believe like I'm going to see heaven one day. And then, I don't know how bad your sins are or were. But I know how bad mine were. And I know what it was like to wrestle through and say, wow, God, really? And to finally settle the issue. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. And so I don't know where you are on those. Maybe you struggle with that. But I'm telling you, you have a God that's watching you right now. He wants to be a real, intimate part of your life. And so I'm going to pray for you today. And if you're here today, and maybe you're way over here, and you're saying, Bob, I haven't even met the guy yet. I haven't even started the journey yet. I want you to consider doing that today. Because I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I'm going to ask you at the end. And I don't mean if you've prayed every week here. I mean that you're here and you're ready to settle all the issues. I want to truly give Christ my life. When we're done, I want you to acknowledge that today, because, man, just like this story is in the Bible, what an incredible moment to be a part of when somebody settles the issue with the Christ child. Amen? And so I don't know if you're here today, Genesis, if some of you are saying, you know what, I need to make him Lord. I need to make him King. I need to settle the issues and start living like I believe he's real. I need to simply live in his forgiveness. I've told you weekly here, I believe there's something to the journey. And as we pray, if you need to make the journey and just say, I'm going to settle that today, would you just by faith come to the altar, come to the front and say, you know what? I'm coming to the Christ child for that. And we'll get all this put together before we leave today. But while I pray, if you're here and you want to settle the issue of making him Lord of your life, or that you want to live like heaven is real, or that you are simply forgiven and you want to live in that, would you find a place to pray for a moment today? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God, for your love, for your grace, and for the way you're a part of our lives, God. I pray for my friends, God, that if they've not truly went beyond making you Savior of their lives, that today, just like those Magi took a journey of faith, that they too would take a journey of faith and be determined, God, to make you more than Savior, to make you the Lord, and to figure out what it is to surrender to you and give you a shot. And God, if there's others here today that they just need to truly be consistent in their faith and to live with heaven in sight and to just be a more consistent Christ follower, God, let them by faith come towards you today. And then for others, God, that maybe they just seem or feel like their sins are bigger than your forgiveness, would you help them to settle these issues, God? As we pray for a moment, if there's others that need to be up here today, I mean, just pray. And if you just need to take a journey of faith today, that's why we're here. Would you just come up for a moment? It's between you and God, but don't leave without responding whatever God has said to your heart today. I'm going to wait one more moment on this. Anybody else need to be up here today? Let's pray together. And if you're here today and you want to give Christ your life, I want you to join with me. Let's pray. Father, let's pray audibly. Thank you for Jesus, the Savior of the world. Thank you for coming to earth, living and dying. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. And I need a fresh beginning. And so forgive me and give me a new beginning right now, right here, today. Thank you for coming into my life for a new day. In Jesus' name and amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise today. This is the hard part, always is. But if you're here today, and I mean you mean that prayer, I want you to lift your hand and say, Bob, I'm going to give him a shot with my life. Is there anybody? God bless you today. Yeah, God bless you. Oh, come on. Come on. You see, if we don't have eternal moments in here, we're just kind of going through the motions. Amen? And so I want you this week, there's one more part to this message today. Those magi, as they journeyed, people knew they were journeying. And I want you to consider, somewhere out there, somebody needs to know what you have found. It may be right in your home, somebody needs to know. It may be a neighbor, it may be a family person you've not talked to in a while. But somebody needs to know what it is to know Jesus Christ. And don't hide your light. Let somebody know that you're praying for them. Let somebody know. Speak life into somebody this week. Encourage somebody. And if anybody asks you any question that opens a door, take it. Don't be afraid to let them know you're on a faith journey also. Amen? Love you guys. Keep praying. I told you we may have a guest here today. You probably realize we didn't. We just decided to disagree. That's all I'll say about that. But let me tell you about a prayer I had a couple weeks ago, and tell you why I am so encouraged about God just directing things. Ever since Genesis started, I pray a prayer almost every day. And in my mind, just the way I see Genesis, is it's a globe. You know, Genesis, creation. This. And so when I pray, I thank God for giving us, Sean and me, a new beginning, a Genesis. But also, I always give it back to God. And I say, God, Genesis is yours. You do whatever you have to in it, and just give it back and let me be a part of it. That's it. And we walked through a couple worship changes and all, and Sean and I were praying about, probably about 3 weeks ago, I guess. And I was praying, and we were praying about this worship area and all. And in my mind, I gave Genesis back to God. And I can see that. I clearly see when I do that. And the Bible says that God sets the members as it pleases Him, right? And I believe that. I believe God sets people in strategic places in ministry. And when I was praying and I gave Genesis back to God, What I literally saw, and I can see it right now, was like a chess piece. God plugged somebody in and then gave it back. And from that moment on, when we were done praying, I said, babe, let me tell you what God just showed me, is that He's got all this figured out, and He will plug the person in. And so I've not wigged about it since. I'm not worried about it. I know it'll all work out the way it's meant to. And so, in the meantime, I think things are incredible, and we're enjoying a journey together. Amen? Amen. So that's why when you're talking to somebody and it's kind of like, well, what about this? What about, hey, love you. God bless you. If you come to Genesis, there's a lot of messed up people. You got to be ready to deal with stuff when you come. This is a little different deal. But anyway, not a challenge. Just keep praying. I love you guys. Not many days left to get your shopping in, so get all that done. And I want to pray for your finances today. Father, thank you one more time. You are the God that gives, and you are the God that we get to give back to. You freely, we have received, freely we give back. And so, every challenge, God, every situation, every financial burden going on. And I pray, God, that you would open up windows of heaven and pour out blessings that cannot be contained. Bless the gift and bless the giver today. And let many people come to know your Son during this season as their Savior, their Lord, their Master. Thank you for Genesis. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. God bless y'all. I love y'all.